Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP.
Sonic the Hedgehog has so far the largest opening day box office of any video game movie ever. But is it deserved? Welcome into Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP, we're going to get the latest in the Overwatch League as well as the LCS. Plus, we ask a very important question. When do you bench a player in esports? Those conversations coming up this hour here on Checkpoint XP. But we start today talking about the Sonic movie. Sonic the Hedgehog has been a much maligned movie since the first trailer came out. People have been speculating whether or not this would be a good movie or not, and it officially has the highest opening day box office, especially even when compared to Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I can't figure out why.
70 million domestic, and I think after, because it opened in 40 international markets, it's brought in, I believe, cumulatively right now, $101 million.
So, as somebody, I've not seen the film yet, right? So I need to
lucky
put this,
you.
I know how Nate feels now, but for everybody else in the room, what is your opinion of this? Because right. I have no feelings about this movie.
Look, it's obviously a children's movie, right?
Correct.
We all get that.
Correct.
We all go in understanding that.
Okay.
So with that in mind, honestly, like, when it comes to video game movies, so long as you get the character right and it's not like an outright travesty like mm-hmm. Final Fantasy Spirits Within, then I'm going to give you a fair shake. And they did that. Sonic felt like the character that I expected to see.
I don't know if I would call Spirits Within a kid's movie, though.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, as far as video game movies go.
Okay, fair.
But yes, Sonic was the character I expected. There were a lot of, you know, really cool, like, Easter eggs and nods to the original game in there.
If by the Sonic you expected, did you expect him to be unfunny the entire time?
Come on, there was some cute moments.
Was that based on the animated cartoon show or what? Because I was in a theater full of children. None of them laughed. No one laughed the entire time. I struggled to find the... I said I laughed at one joke, and I struggled to figure out which one it was. Then I did figure it out. It was the Blue Devil drawing, which is the crazy guy in town draws Sonic, and it's...
He's the only one who's seen him or believes he exists.
It's like old-school Sonic fan art.
Oh,
yeah, from like the
funny
early days of the internet. That was the only... That... And then there was a moment where they played, you know, like a part of the soundtrack on a mm-hmm. piano. That was okay. The rest of it was so bad.
No, as somebody,
it was cringeworthy bad.
As somebody who went there with a child, I'm the only one with a child that I actually take ownership
of. Hey, my girlfriend wakes up in the morning and eats chocolate chip cookies, so I feel like I'm with a child.
All right. I took my kids. She had a good time. I had a good time. My girlfriend and my dad both had a good time. I don't know, like... I did not go in expecting it to be the next Green Mile.
No,
right? Like, it's
neither
not
did
serious.
I. Neither did I. And here's the thing. I didn't have very high expectations of Detective Pikachu, but I thoroughly enjoyed that film on the other side of it.
On
the other side of Sonic, I was like, I am no better for seeing this movie. This was a waste of my time and money and gas. I was furious.
All right. Settle down there, old man.
Especially
look,
because,
this is what I will give to you in that regard, because Detective Pikachu definitely was written and played to the idea that a lot of people grew up and are adults now, so there was a little bit of both worlds in there. Sonic is straight up just a kid's movie.
But I asked the
had
question,
I not seen it in theaters, I could have waited.
Listen,
I asked the question of it, knowing that it's a kid's movie and knowing that Sonic games have been traditionally terrible for the past decade, how many kids do you think, I'm not trying to slam the movie, how many kids do you think are going to Sonic and legitimately connecting with Sonic as a character?
This was actually the biggest surprise that I had for that reason. There hasn't been a great Sonic game in some time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that there would be a lot of young fans of Sonic because what games are they playing? Mm-hmm. But between both this movie and when I went to see the Sonic mascot at this there was a
The Golden Ring. Yes,
the
Golden
Ring.
Golden Ring.
Where I'm from.
Yes.
There were a lot of kids there. Like, there are a lot of kids who are genuinely into it. And I think that whether or not the kids in Nate's theater were laughing or not, I think that most that go to see this are actually going to have a good time and will probably grow up with fond memories of this movie.
And Nate, you besmirched my man Jim Carrey. He was not nearly as bad as you made him out to be.
Oh, he was so... He was chewing the scenery.
What Jim Carrey does!
He has one good scene, and that's at the very end of the film. The rest of it was just, I don't know, it was weird. It didn't make any sense. Even from a plot perspective, it didn't make any sense. None of the motivations of the characters made any sense, especially the main guy who's helping out Sonic. Why would he help him at all? That's never answered to a satisfactory degree. So I have a lot of problems with the movie, but at the same time, though, I'm someone who I watch stuff that's made for kids. I watch Cartoon Network all the time. I watch Nickelodeon. I actually really like animation that's like aimed at kids. Teen Titans Go is one of my favorite TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
But there was not a single joke in here that landed for me or any of the kids in my audience. And I just thought the whole movie from front to back fell flat. We got to change gears now and check out Checkpoint XP's Close Shave of the Week.
Stay close to the heat.
Close Shave.
Turn up
on Checkpoint XP.
This week's Close Shave comes from the Overwatch League. At the Philadelphia Fusion homestand, they took on the Washington Justice, and the first map on Nepal was a nail-biter. The Justice had the match in the bag as the Fusion trickled back in on the point, and Carpe switched over to Widowmaker, a choice that the casters even questioned. But you cannot argue with these results.
Poco alone on the point. Dangerously low. Will be melted down. Roar finds the kill. Carpe looking for a shot. Takes one. Finds Stratus. Puts him in the head. Now is looking for the supports. Can't quite line it up. Gets stuck in midair. Over top of the pit. Carpe, can he do this? Bring it back from the brink. Jumps out. But Sato has already taken care of Aimgon. Roar finds the pin. Bunny Astro gone. He's got a sliver of HP. He is dead. And it worked. Carpe comes back with a Widowmaker, takes him in the skulls, and that one goes to the Fusion.
Carpe put the Fusion on his back and won back the round. They'd go on to take the series in their hometown of Philadelphia. Check out the Checkpoint XP Close Shave of the Week at our website, checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
So there was another video game movie project that recently got released to Netflix. I'm talking about Dragon Quest Your Story. And to help talk about this movie, we're bringing in our good friend, producer Chad Callahan. Chad, welcome into Checkpoint XP. So there's a lot to unpack here. This was an animated movie, an all computer generated animated movie that was done by Square Enix, set in the Dragon Quest universe.
Now, I'm not super familiar with the Dragon Quest games myself. This one wasn't specifically adapted from a game.
Yes, it was Dragon Quest V,
okay.
In fact. Yes, directly adapted from the story of that game. And initially, I thought, okay, there's some pacing issues. We're moving through a lot of stuff really, really quickly. But this is a big game, so I kind of gave it a little bit of leeway when it came to that. But what really surprised me was the end. The first thing that struck me about the movie was that, hey, this makes me really want to play Dragon Quest. But at the end, it subverts the normal story of the game, and you're actually told a small meta story about someone who's experiencing this game as a part of like a VR art installation. And it actually, the end spoke to the power and love of video games. I have to say, I loved this.
Yeah, I went through quite a journey on it, because like you, I'm watching, I'm like, this is fine. It's probably good that it went right to Netflix. When they broke the fourth wall,
or
whatever, that's when I started to be like, I don't know. But as they started talking about this idea of like these games change us and they stick with us, I'm like, oh man, they got me.
I got caught in the feels.
I got caught in the feels.
It hit me right in the feels. Chad, what did you think about this?
Okay, so I have mixed emotions because I was excited to see the movie, and because like I remember playing Dragon Quest and be like, I want to see the adaptation, like, which they kind of just really just took the game.
It was almost a one for one.
Yeah, which that's, in my opinion, the pacing issue was really the struggle that I had to get through, because I hate the fact that I literally looked away for like a minute to like read an email. I look back and I'm like, what happened?
Yeah,
like, I missed so much.
Yes.
Because a minute went by and now he's 17. All of a sudden he was 10. He was 10 2 seconds ago. What happened?
Yeah.
So like the pacing issue made it real struggle. The ending, okay. I get why they call it your story.
Yes.
I get it now. I was really trying to figure that part out.
But it was cheesy, but like sort of in the best way, though. Like, it was cheesy in a way that sort of reinforces how I feel about video games.
It also explains the reasoning for all of these sort of big time jumps or the weirdness or the pacing issues. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. It all came together in a weird way. Like it's like time travel movies do, where they don't really make sense until you get like the final sort of twist at the end. And then it all, and you realize the why it sort of exists the way
but
that
it
does.
But time travel movies usually suck.
I was about to say that. Most time travel movies do terrible. I mean, I'm not going to say the movie's bad not to see it, but like, I just was really excited as a person who's played.
It seems like you're disappointed because it wasn't what you expected wanted it to be.
I would have rather it been a whole new cast, because Dragon Quest, like Final Fantasy, is like always new cast,
episodic.
I would have rather it been its own standalone thing instead of trying to feed off of like my nostalgia of a specific one.
Yeah.
But based off what they said, that sounds like the point, though.
I think that was the point, and I think that, you know, like this, to me, it sort of really excites me for what is going to come out of, you know, Square Enix in the future in terms of movies. Because before this, I was kind of lukewarm on their movies. This actually got me really excited. Thank you, Chad, for hanging out for that. But we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And let us know what you thought of the Sonic movie and of the Dragon Quest movie. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we've got to get the latest in Overwatch and League of Legends action. We'll talk about that. Plus, we ask the question, when do you bench an esports player? Those conversations still ahead here on Checkpoint XP. But next, we're going to check in with Robbie over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Some sources familiar with the terms that deal between Overwatch League and YouTube may have a number for us.
Ooh.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
The latest in esports news and headlines is right here on Checkpoint XP. Welcome back. My name's Nate Bender. I want to thank everyone listening on 1080 The Fan, as well as KXTG 750 The Game in Portland, Oregon. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we're going to get the latest in Overwatch League, as well as League of Legends action. Plus, we ask a very important question. At what point do you bench an esports athlete? Those conversations still ahead here on Checkpoint XP, but first...
Oh, my God!
It's over! It's over! He did it!
Ready for the dunk! Andrew Bieber! Into the
faster! Oh, and another one! Oh, and a third! What is this?
Esports Gaming Update.
It's no secret that the esports and gaming scenes have both been heavily affected by the coronavirus. The Overwatch League canceled 27 matches in China due to safety concerns, but we finally got word on when these matches will be played. A studio has been acquired in Seoul, where all the affected matches will be played in week 6 and 7 of the season.
This is intelligent. I know we talked about this many times, and we said, hey, why don't you play dark matches?
Yeah.
Why don't you move everybody to Seoul? Seoul is pretty close. You'll be able to play everything there. So it's good to hear that this is something that they've already done. And as soon as we hear that everybody's there, safe and sound, I'm looking forward to these matches.
My question is like, how exactly are these going to be broadcast? Because you're going to have normal games that are being played on that weekend anyway.
Yes,
are they going to have to start a second YouTube channel?
So week 6, there's actually only 6 games that are being played each day, but half of those will be in Guangzhou and will feature some of the teams that are affected. Week 7, though, has 8 games being played total. That, again, includes some of the affected teams, so it is going to be a hard hard week of Overwatch.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of games. And for those of us that cover this kind of stuff, I mean, that's just going to be a crazy weekend.
Some sources who are familiar with the terms of the deal made between the Overwatch League and YouTube are now valuing that pact at $160 million over 3 years.
Wow.
The breakdown seems to be a large amount towards Overwatch League, of course, a smaller but still notable amount for CDL, and Hearthstone Esports essentially tossed in for free.
So maybe all those card game listeners could bag back, man. Nobody wants to watch that stuff.
Seriously, we hear from them so much.
Is it bad that I was expecting a higher number?
Well, here's the thing.
Expecting a higher number as well, at least well over two.
Yes.
I expected at least 100 million more.
Well, here's the thing I think you have to keep in mind is obviously over year to year, it is a little bit lower, but we're also playing half as many games throughout the season as what we were on Twitch last year.
That's true.
For just the second time in 9 tournaments, Hungrybox claims his 3rd Smash Summit title. The only other player to win more than 2 Summit events was Adam Armada Lindgren. Hungrybox is quickly approaching Armada's record, and during the Smash Summit 9, he became the first player in Summit history to go 5-0 in pools.
15-0.
Put some respect on that man's name.
Hey, Hungrybox is the man.
Friend of the show, Hungrybox.
That's right. That's right.
What an incredible performance. I mean, this definitely puts him in the top echelon of Smash performers.
I mean, he already is. I think there are
absolutely.
The argument is he the GOAT?
Right.
Is he the Melee GOAT?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he is. I think he is.
Think
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Hungrybox, in his victory speech, he used this time to once again appeal to the powers that be at Nintendo to start to truly support the Smash community.
I really do wish if anyone from Nintendo corporate is watching this right now, if anyone's seeing the amount of excitement these sets can get and everything that goes with it, just give Melee a chance. Even if it's just Ultimate, support the Ultimate scene. Support the Smash scene in general. You have people day in and day out streaming, making content, competing, going to tournaments, and we do it all grassroots. We have this like Beyond the Summit because they raise money, and that's great. But Nintendo, I need to say I love you guys, but you are the only one not putting in resources into the scene. Look at Capcom Cup. Look at that celebration. Look at every other game. Look at Fortnite. This is the step that you're missing. And if you did that, the culture and the appreciation that you guys would receive would be bar none, unlike anything you've received.
Yeah.
So hope you're listening. It's probably a shot in the dark, but please support Smash tournaments.
And he's absolutely right. But the thing is that because everything is so grassroots with Smash, there's no incentive for Nintendo to do anything about it. So if I was the Smash community, as much as this would hurt, I would pick a tournament and I would boycott it.
But it just seems like it has become a decision in Nintendo proper that esports is not something that we're interested in. We're not interested in catering towards it. They had the opportunity with 2 different versions of Super Smash Brothers. They did not do it. They unequivocally said this is not going to be something that we're supporting. So to me, they have made it remarkably clear they have no interest in being in the space.
Then to me, I would say let the scene die. As much as I love Smash and as many people, especially in this area, love Smash, I'll say let it die. If you're not going to get support from the developer, then why are we trying to, you know, essentially tax the player base in order to enjoy this game? That's just the way I feel about it.
Streaming personality and Twitch superstar Pokimane has donated $50,000 to the University of UC Irvine, creating a scholarship that will provide $2,500 a year to one student who's been selected to be a part of their esports program. This means that for the next 20 years, Pokimane's generosity will aid a UCI student pursuing a future in the esports space. Program director Mark Depe talked about what Pokimane's donation could mean for streamers in the future.
I think an interesting piece is whether other streamers and young, successful gaming celebrities choose to enter the world of philanthropy. As you mentioned, yeah, there is a whole new area of wealth that's been created by these young, phenomenal entertainers. And I think Pokimane will make people think about how they can utilize their celebrity status, their wealth, their fame to make the world a better place.
Absolutely. I think this is a great program, a great move from Pokimane, and exactly what Mark said. I hope that this inspires other successful streaming personalities or esports personalities to create an endowment of their own. Invest in the future.
No, I totally agree. And if you want to hear that interview in its entirety, you can check it out on Checkpoint XP on campus. And you can go over to where you get your podcast and the website as well, checkpointxp.com.
Yep.
League superstar Faker has signed a new 3-year deal with his longtime team, SK Telecom T1. As a part of the agreement, Faker will become part owner of T1 Entertainment and Sports. And according to ESPN, Faker will take up a leadership role within the company after he retires.
Cash!
He got the bag.
Cash!
He got the bag.
The bag, Faker.
He is all set. Congratulations to Faker. Wow.
The GOAT.
Yes.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Robbie, for the update. The CSGO scene has been through some, do we call it growing pains?
Yes.
Two separate leagues are in the midst of trying to form, and they've been vying for which teams are going to participate in each one of the leagues. You have Site B1 on one side and the ESL Pro League on the other side. The ESL have officially announced which teams would be participating in their season 11.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're going to have to go ahead and throw over to you on what this means here, Rick. But, I mean, you know, just some of the big names: Astralis, Complexity, Ents, Evil Geniuses, FaZe Clan, Fnatic, G2, Mouse Sports, Team Liquid, Vitality, 100 Thieves. And these are teams that won't be relegated. They are in this league going forward.
So those are the main franchises.
That's right. And you know, there's a host of other ones. I mean, really the only notable name on here that I don't see is Cloud9.
Yeah, and well, here's the number one thing. They signed 11 teams. 10 of those are the top 10 teams currently competing, period. Mm-hmm. So they just took the top 10 teams and they go, we own this now. This is ours.
So what is, like, if you're a Counter-Strike Global Offensive fan, like, what incentive is there for you to watch anything except ESL?
There isn't. That's the point.
Yeah, like, there isn't. There's still good Counter-Strike being played.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But it comes down to, a resource distribution, right? There's only so much screen time. There's only so much money that's being spent on these different games and these different, leagues itself. It's frustrating as a fan because you essentially just saw the formation of a league that now owns, they're the Comcast. They now own all of Counter-Strike.
Let me tell you what I see. I see the exact same issue with Site B that we saw with Overwatch Contenders.
Yes.
There's no reason for anybody to really watch it, and so it's going to flounder. And a lot of these teams are not going to be able to either buy in to ESL, or they're not going to be good enough to play into ESL.
Absolutely. Whether they want to admit it or not, Site B has now instantly become a secondary league to ESL. ESL, if they've got 10 of the top 11 teams, then they're the ones to watch. And now Site B becomes
the minor league.
Yes, essentially. And that's kind of, that's kind of a bummer because both of these organizations have been fighting tooth and nail against one another to try to get the leg up on the other.
It's just, I just hate seeing conglomerates kind of come together that essentially box out anything that they now direct the sport.
No,
they're the ones
the
that are able
time,
to say
but
what
at the
want.
Same
if
time.
If we want
we
our esports to reach the same level as traditional
exactly.
sports. You don't get both of those worlds. It's one or the other.
Exactly.
And honestly, the reason that I think Counter-Strike Global Offensive has been so hard to follow is that you haven't had that dominant league that says, this is where all the talent is, right? Like, this other league may have one good team, but this is where the dominant talent is. If you took the team in last place in this league and put them up against the team in first place in this league, then
that gap
theory,
is closer than you
exactly,
would think.
Exactly.
And to Robbie's earlier point, Cloud9 is officially just going to be relegated to an official B team minor league team for the rest of forever.
It'll be their only one. It'll be their only one. Listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited for the upcoming season of Counter-Strike Global Offensive? Which side of the fence do you fall on? Do you fall on the Site B side?
Sorry to hear it.
Or do you fall on the ESL Pro League side? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we've got a question for you. When do you bench an esports player? Like, what has to happen for you to bench somebody or put them back into development? But ahead next, we're going to get the all-important Overwatch League and LCS update. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
We got to get to our Overwatch League and LCS update here in just a moment. But welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com, whether it's our podcast, our thoughts on the latest stories in gaming and esports, or some Checkpoint XP merch. It all lives over at the freshly redesigned brand spanking new website, CheckpointXP.com. Check it out. Let us know what you think of it. Starting off with Overwatch League. This was a tough weekend if you are a fan of the Houston Outlaws.
Yeah, it was.
I'm looking at you, Robbie, when I say that. Yeah. This was a difficult weekend. They were live from Philly this weekend. There was no second game that was being played because, of course, this was supposed to be the first matchups in China that were canceled and moved to when?
Week 6 and 7.
That's
so
right.
It would have been Shanghai first homestand as well, so it was a little bit of a truncated weekend, and you're right. Just about everybody else that played this weekend, if you're a fan of even the Florida Mayhem, the Washington Justice, or the Fusion, you had a pretty good weekend. Unfortunately, the Outlaws did not. They went their first match was up against the Florida Mayhem, who were bottom of the barrel last year, but coming in this year, their GM, Albert Yeh, that we have an interview with over at CheckpointXP.com, said this is the best roster they've had in 3 years. Not hard to do, Albert. But he wasn't wrong. They do look a lot better. Between Saya player on the Widowmaker and the Hitskank characters, and Yaki on the Mei, and I mean, he had near surgical control of the battlefield. They were able to 3-0 the Outlaws, who looked, honestly, disjointed, too committed to a single comp strategy. They were not playing like a team.
Now, do you think Florida looked as tight as they did because they were up against the Outlaws?
That is a very good question, and I'm not 100% sure, because they did go up against Philly on day two, and they did get swept 3-0. The first two games were competitive. They were a little bit closer than what.
Yeah, but you're talking about last year's champs and home turf.
I get it, and I think we need a few more weeks with them, because even their off tank McGravy, great off tank, but
you're generous.
But
no,
you're being super generous,
man.
Still talking about a middle of the road team.
No, dude.
At best.
No, dude. When you looked at the way that team played and you looked at their competition, it's not like they went up against the world beater teams last week.
Well aware.
They didn't go up against NYXL or Vancouver or San Francisco. They went up against Washington, which was a bottom five team last year. They went up against Florida.
Not in that last stage. Put some respect on Washington. In that last stage, at the end of last season, which is this team, they nearly had a perfect stage. So let's not act like Washington is
I'm not going to count just one stage. I'm counting your performance over the entire season. And if you look at it, Washington is not a team that should have been given Houston the type of trouble that they had. Houston was hard-headed. They didn't change their comp. They had nothing for Corey. They had nothing for Stratus. And they got beat flat out.
I'm not trying to argue that Houston didn't look good or not this weekend. Houston got washed because they didn't play. They didn't even try to play.
Any you want to? Did I've heard some rumors that some of the members of the team were sick. Does that sound like excuses to you, or do you think that that actually had a big impact on the field?
If it was, it's such a small part of it. There are still some issues that we saw that even if you were at the top of your game, you can't explain away. Why were you not trying to switch up when hydration was being outmade at every single corner? Why did you not try and switch up? Why did you not try to counter with something else? They were stuck the entire time trying to put a square peg into a round hole, and it wasn't working for them.
All right, fair enough. All right, we got to switch gears and check out Nailed It and Failed It.
You know who this is.
From the high highs to the low lows.
Turn it up.
Who nailed it and who failed it?
On Checkpoint XP Radio.
Our Nailed It this week goes to Cloud9 for their performance in the LCS. They're currently undefeated, sitting at an 8-0 record. They've secured over 100 kills and only suffered about 30 deaths as a team. Their average match win time is sitting near 20 minutes, which is absolutely insane for a game that can go upwards of 45.
Ven picks up another one onto Vulcan. Jizuke tries to make one last valiant effort, but it's nothing but a double kill for the enemy AD carry. Vinskaren will try to stand against Niski, but the damage is too much. The Nexus, the only thing left to target. And C9 win it 1 second shy of 30 minutes in.
Stick around, because next hour we're going to find out who failed it. And as always, you can find out who nailed it and failed it over at our website, checkpointxp.com. We're actually going to stick with the LCS, and joining us to help talk about the LCS.
Oh my God!
He's bringing the tables! Why is he bringing the tables? I love impersonating JR in just that little moment that I get to do here on the show. Anyway, Joe Sloan joining us for the LCS update. Joe, Cloud9 is looking dominant, but the other side of that coin, what is happening to Team Liquid right now?
You know what? I feel like we're getting to a point where it's becoming dishonest to talk about Team Liquid. I at some point, we just have to admit, like, if we're talking about Team Liquid, it's because they're one of my favorite teams. They're not worth talking about right now. Ooh. They are playing badly week in and week out at this point. Another 1-1 performance. Yeah, you beat CLG.
But who hasn't?
Yeah, who hasn't? The five of us could probably beat CLG. With a couple weeks of practice, we could at least give them run for their money.
Oh, no.
It's a bad place to be. They dropped another game to Immortals over the weekend. They didn't look great. Once again, they're getting picked off. They're making bad moves. They don't look like they have good communication.
So for weeks, we heard, oh, this is all because Brox is not here. Brox is not here. We're not playing with a full squad. Brox is here now.
And they don't look good.
It doesn't seem to have changed anything. There is something that looks fundamentally sluggish about this squad.
And that's a good word, sluggish. They look like they're behind from the moment that they get to the Rift. And I just want to pull up some stats here, because we talk about Sven and how amazing he's been in this split. When you look at his numbers compared to Double Lift, it's not even close. Sven is averaging a 48.5 KDA, and Double Lift is averaging 2.9.
Could you maybe pick someone a little more middle of the road? I don't feel like it makes sense.
No.
Because you could compare Sven against anyone in the league, and it would look just as
Double
bad.
Is Double Lift not supposed to be the LCS GOAT?
He is.
Is he not supposed to be the most dominant bot laner that NA has ever produced?
I think if you're going to compare those stats, Double Lift is maybe the most fair comparison.
My point is, though, you could compare Double Lift against someone off TSM, and it would look just as bad. Anyone looks bad next to Sven right now.
But that's precisely my point. Every time Team Liquid wins a split or they go to Worlds, everybody's talking about, is this the time that Double Lift is going to show up? Is this the time that, you know, Team Liquid is finally going to make some noise at Worlds? And based off these numbers, based off how he's playing, and based off how that team is playing, they don't have any business even being in the LCS.
They're lucky
CLG is there.
I gotta tell you something. I think this is the worst LCS since 2015.
Wow.
Sure, Cloud9 is 8-0, but I gotta tell you something. I watched that match between them and TSM. They are capitalizing on mistakes that aren't going to be made outside of this region. They are not going to perform well
internationally. When you look at a team like G2, G2 will stomp
wash them
all over this region.
Yeah, any kind of international competition, I think, is going to go over like a lead balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Every team so far, and you're right, Cloud9 does look great, but man, Liquid needs to really get it together.
I'll tell you what, if I was Liquid at this point, I might look at benching Doublelift. I think it's getting to be that point.
Well, you know what? Stick around, because we're going to actually talk about that in our next segment. What do you need to bench an esports player? Like, how bad does it need to get before you finally bench someone like Doublelift? Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, this is Joe with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. Starting in the Overwatch League, Week 3 we'll see the OWL heading to Washington, D.C. The Washington Justice will be welcoming New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Houston, Paris, Toronto, and London to the nation's capital. Turning our attention to the spring split of the League of Legends LCS, where Cloud9 continues to dominate. Monday Night League this week will play host to TSM versus Evil Geniuses and Team Liquid versus Dignitas. February will play host to DreamHack Anaheim, which will bring us back to the world of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. That tournament will be running from February 21st through the 23rd. That same weekend, we'll also play host to Frostbite 2020, welcoming Smash players from all over the country to beautiful Detroit, Michigan. The last weekend in February marks IEM Katowice. In addition to StarCraft II, the tournament also marks the first ESL major of 2020 for CSGO. And as we look towards March, all eyes are on ESL 1 Los Angeles, marking the first Dota ESL major of the year. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
How bad does it have to get before you actually make the decision to bench an esports athlete? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP and the newly revamped Other Identity. Plus, we've got some really cool Dungeons & Dragons inspired merch. You've seen all of us wearing it. The Checkpoint XP jersey is also now available. Check it out over at CheckpointXP.com/shop. You know, we were just talking about the miserable season that it seems like Doublelift is having.
Poor guy.
You know, we also talked about the Houston Outlaws and the rough week, the opening week that they had out in Philly. So it kind of leads us to a natural question. How bad do things have to get before you bench a player like Doublelift? Now, Doublelift is kind of unique here in this situation because he has been hailed as the top North American League of Legends player for the better part of like 3 or 4 years.
To put it in like a traditional sports sense,
yes.
He may not be a Tom Brady,
right,
but he's absolutely been a starter of an NFL team for quite a while.
I would put him on that level.
I would actually almost put him on a Tom Brady.
He's on a Brady level. So this is akin to if Brady, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, they just didn't perform for the first half of the season.
Now, athletes of that caliber, a lot of times, you let them stay in till they figure it out.
They play it out.
They end up playing it out, and their greatness ends up coming out the other side even more unquestioned, right?
Yeah.
But do you have those same factors at play in an esports athlete?
I think it's really different because we know certain sports are built around stats, and that's how we judge performance. But I think with traditional sports, you sort of have that, you know, I just, the way he plays is good. It's just not translating.
Right.
Where you'll have somebody that running the routes right, they're doing everything they're supposed to do, but they're not bringing the ball in. They're not catching the ball.
Is that kind of like the equivalent of when a meta doesn't favor an esports athlete? Okay. I understand where you were going with that.
It can, and I might have agreed with you more had it not been for Overwatch League this past weekend, where Carpe switched to the Widowmaker, and everyone was like, what? This is a terrible map for Widowmaker, and he came in, and he just did what he had to do. And he pulled him through.
Yeah, but
he
greatness shines through. And I think that's sort of, Nate, what you were talking about when certain players play through something,
yeah.
right? A rough patch or a rough period. I think when we're talking about Double If, or we're talking about an esports athlete and when do you bench them, you have to look at it as like, is this meta going to be changing anytime soon? What is their performance looking like? And what is our run-up for the next few weeks?
Yeah.
I think if you look at that and you say, all right, we got to play some weaker teams, I may keep them in. But if we got to play Cloud9 again next week, I am not sure if that's a risk I'm willing to take.
You definitely can't go in and just tell him, all right, you know what, today you just have to pick it up. I think there are other things you have to look at. Is there a different hero we can switch you to?
Yeah.
Right? Is there a different tactic or strategy we can employ that can help give you the edge?
Are you able, is there like a... Because like in baseball, right, you can get sent back down to the minor leagues.
Yeah,
go figure out your problems, figure it out, and come back.
They have academy.
But it's even worse than esports. If you ain't performing, they'll just drop
you. That's
what
I'm saying. Like,
here's the thing, though. In traditional sports, when you put somebody on the bench, like, there are benefits to that. The player becomes rested. If they have any injuries that they're playing with, those injuries get time to heal. You don't necessarily have those same physical factors at play in
esports.
But
you do have mental factors.
You do have mental, yes.
And if you have a player that hasn't been performing well, and they hear shows like this lamenting about how bad they are, that does get into a player's head. So I think it's important for a coaching staff to say, you know what, we're going to give you a week off. We have a lower tier game this week. We think the backup guy can handle it. It seems like you need a day off.
If I'm a coach, though, is it easier to just chuck and shuck some of these guys? Like, I don't want to be insensitive when I say this, but like,
I think it's harder to do in a game like League of Legends or even Overwatch because everything is so communication dependent. And the weeks that you will lose getting somebody else up to speed are almost not worth it.
Yeah, that's a big factor.
I think that's a really good point. But, going back to the physicality part of it, I just don't, like, there are no physical factors that I think some outside of carpal tunnel, but that a esports athlete riding the bench for a period of time is able to gain.
Here's the difference, though.
You're losing out on meta. You're losing out on game sense. You're losing out on the way that the game is changing.
Well, you're still scrimming.
That's the thing. You're still playing. Even if you take a break from the main stage, you're still streaming, you're still playing, you're still scrimming. When you get a week off in football or baseball, you get a week off. You're sitting there, you're relaxing, you're probably taking hot baths, icy hot. Like, you're actually getting time off, man.
All right, that's an interesting point. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. You know, switching gears here, there's something that I wanted to talk about because we got news over the weekend that one of the great American institutions is going away. There is no longer unlimited Cheddar Bay biscuits at Red Lobster.
This is not a drill.
This is not a drill. This is real. This is real.
You cannot poo-poo this. You can't poo-poo this.
All right, look, fine. I'm not going to poo-poo it, but I'm going to throw this out there. This is the reason you have trouble getting up the stairs in the morning.
Listen, but so first of all, does that mean that I have to pay extra for the more biscuits,
or do I
have a limit?
It's capped at 2 per, like, diner, so...
Wait, 2 biscuits?
I swear to God, I almost said a cuss word.
That is pretty ridiculous.
2 biscuits?
Yeah.
I almost said a forbidden word on this show right now. 2 biscuits is not
enough. I thought you were going to come back and be like, 2 orders? 2 biscuits?
That's it. It is,
This is absurd.
I am totally sure that this will boycott Red Lobster. This will tank Red Lobster's business. No one will go there ever again. But it got me thinking, though, what are some things in gaming that you wish would make a comeback?
Oh,
right?
Easy. Turn-based games.
Oh,
turn-based
RPGs. Absolutely.
Boom, easy.
Hands down.
I mean, every Persona time, showed us that it still works.
Every time I find one and, you know, I'm just like reminded, Octopath Traveler,
yes,
of how much I love a turn-based RPG and the tactics that you have to use inside of it.
You are in luck because Riot Games is coming out with a new turn-based RPG, The Ruined King.
Absolutely.
That is supposed to be a throwback to that same era.
I am so excited, and because it's Riot Games, I hope to have found a new eSport with it.
Turn-based eSport.
That's right. Hey, Pokemon is an eSport. Facts. I don't want to hear
facts.
It.
Okay, all
I don't
right.
want to hear
sure,
any
sure,
of that
Nate.
Slander.
Thanks.
No, right. but like, what's some stuff in gaming that you wish would make of a comeback?
Physical memory. I don't think that there was anything cooler than having memory cards that I'd be able
Are
to schlep around.
What?
You're,
shut
what?
Up.
What?
What?
Yes.
Wait,
you
want to have
wait,
a memory
why.
Card?
Chaos. You want to go back to the Mad Catz memory cards
oh,
when we
yes.
have cloud storage now?
Oh, yes.
You're ridiculous.
Only reason why.
Losing your card.
I just, it's this.
Accidentally deleting your 300 hour Final Fantasy VII original save file with Toy Story. You want to go back to that?
It's nostalgia for me. That's, I just like how you want all these Cheddar Bay biscuits to come back. I just want it, man. I don't know why. It's not healthy. I still want it
no,
in my
you,
life.
You know what I want to come back? I want the whole game being on one disc when I buy it. That's what
oh,
I want.
Oh, good luck.
I want, I
That's
want the,
done.
I want the game.
Those days are over.
I want the game when I buy it to be the game. I don't want to deal with DLC. I don't want to deal with none of that stuff. Give me the full game, and if you want to add on extra, that's fine, but I better have the whole game out the box, excuse me, off the cloud.
You know what I miss? I genuinely miss the glory days of PlayStation Plus, when you used to get a Vita game, a PlayStation 3 game, and a PlayStation 4 game.
Yeah.
I've got all of that
oh,
hardware.
Yeah, wow, Nate misses free stuff. Yeah, me too, Nate.
Yeah! What do you miss from video games, and are you going to miss those delicious Cheddar Bay biscuits? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. Coming up in the next hour, Diablo and Overwatch have some animated features coming in their future. Will they be headed to Netflix or Disney Plus? We'll find out. Actually, we'll speculate about that coming up in the next hour of Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, we'll check in with Robbie over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk.
The Nintendo PlayStation prototype that never actually released has sold, and you'll never guess for how much.
Stick around. Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming.
A production of Beasley Esports XP.
Hey, welcome back to another hour of Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up this hour on Checkpoint XP, could the PlayStation 5 be over $500?
No.
Say it ain't so,
really
Sony. Say it ain't so. Plus, Diablo and Overwatch are slated to get animated shows.
Yes.
We're going to break all of that down coming up here on Checkpoint XP. But first,
gaming news update.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Junk food has long been a staple in gamer culture, so we make it a point of trying to hit on all the weird stuff that sometimes pops up. Now, this next one, this might take the cake, or the burger, as it were. Burger King is currently testing a sandwich that is filled not with a burger, not a patty, but with nothing but French fries. I don't even think this is something that Joe would eat.
Oh my god, as if he's been summoned from the deep, here he comes!
You rang?
Oh man,
wait,
all right.
What's on this burger?
All right, so you got two buns, there's ketchup, there's mayo, and then there's a handful of fries. That's it.
And so no meat?
No.
There's no burger?
No, it's just potato shavings.
I think you might be right. I don't
potato
even think I want
shavings. Come on.
Am I wrong?
That's what it is.
Why not just eat French fries?
You're acting like they peeled a potato and put the what you discard onto a sandwich.
No, this is the vegans have gone too far now. And I can't even eat the Impossible Burger.
This is a thing in other countries New Zealand and England. Like it's an actual thing.
And not only in other countries, if you were to ever go out to Pittsburgh, they actually have a tradition of putting French fries on the top of every single sandwich out there. So I think
that's different. That's on top.
That's on meat.
It's a garnish at that point. Like that's fine. I'm fine with French fries as a garnish, not as the meal.
Way back in the early days of video game history, before we had our PlayStations and our Xboxes, Sony worked with Nintendo to develop the Nintendo PlayStation. You heard that right.
That's right, yeah.
A Nintendo PlayStation. Now, only a prototype was developed, and it has now sold for $420,000 to the head of Oculus VR, Palmer Luckey, who said he wants the prototype as part of a quest to digitize and preserve the history of physical video games, and that he planned to preserve the machine in the most advanced video game storage facility ever constructed.
This guy is the head of Spectre. He's a James Bond villain.
He actually founded a military... I forget what it is, but they make stuff for the military, and it's called Anduril, which is the name of the reforged shards of Aragorn's sword in Lord of the Rings.
I think it's
actually named after the reforged shards of the sword. Shut up!
No, I actually think that this is awesome. This is one of the sort of like great lost pieces of video game media. So, like, I imagine, you know, like, what's that big jail fortress that comes out of
the
sea? The raft in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, it's got to be on that kind of level.
StarCraft is a legacy title that has helped to shape the world of esports as we know it today. Long ago, back in the early 2000s, Blizzard was developing a third-person shooter game set in the StarCraft universe. After a rocky development cycle, it was ultimately canceled in 2005. So who would have thought that 15 years later, a demo of this very game would...
Why are we still talking about StarCraft Ghost?
Because we can see what it looks like now.
I don't care. It's 20 years old.
I got to be honest. Did you take a look at the like some of the footage of this game? I was not impressed.
I mean, maybe I misremember what graphics back in the Xbox and PS1 era looked like, but I actually thought that it looked fine.
No. Ugh. No, it doesn't.
It looks bad.
Ever since Ninja was poached from Twitch by Mixer, we have entered an era that some are calling the Streamer Wars. And they're about to get weird. The newest addition to the list of platform-exclusive streamers, courtesy of Facebook Gaming, is former MMA and WWE star. She also voiced Sonya Blade in the most recent Mortal Kombat, Ronda Rousey.
Stop.
Does this accomplish the goal of getting people to watch your platform
on Facebook? No.
I disagree with Ronda Rousey on a variety of different opinions. But I think that, you know, major celebrities having an interest in the video game space is interesting. Mm-hmm. I do not want to watch a celebrity play video games.
You know who I'd watch? Shia LaBeouf. I'd watch Shia LaBeouf play Dark Souls.
Okay, all right.
You know what? We'll say it's a case-by-case basis.
Listen, by the end of it, he may end up punching a cop. That's the only reason.
Exactly.
You never know what you're going to get when you get Shia LaBeouf. Like, that's fine. I accept that. Outside of Ronda Rousey losing a match and punching her Switch in its screen, I don't think I want to watch it.
Yeah.
How many people here hate the airport? Sometimes waiting for hours on end, nodding off in cramped spaces with weirdos and complete strangers all around you with nothing to do? Well, those days are in the past if you're lucky enough to be flying through one of several locations with Nintendo pop-up lounges. Set up with Switches and several games such as Mario Kart, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and more. They'll help you pass the time between your...
You know what this is? They saw that guy who had hijacked a terminal screen.
Yeah.
In one of the terminals and said, you know what? we might be actually able to fill that.
Here, but here's the thing that I think is very interesting. We talked about the death of arcades over our lifetime, and you see arcades just making this weird resurgence in places like airports and barcades and stuff like that. Just make arcades again. Make arcades great again.
Oh, God.
CCP, the developers behind the spacefaring MMO EVE Online, have announced the online shooter set in the same universe as their flagship game has been canceled. After showing a gameplay experience in Vegas 2 years ago, they decided they couldn't deliver the game they wanted. During the same announcement, they revealed the developer would be replacing the project with another online shooter set in the universe of EVE, but this one would be multiplayer and developed by a different studio.
Just stop it. Like, you got lucky with EVE. It's spreadsheets in space. You're lucky anyone plays it anymore. Just develop for that.
The coronavirus continues to affect the gaming and esports scene, but this time it's moved stateside. The annual PAX East convention that takes place in Boston is one of the biggest East Coast gaming conventions. Sony has announced that they will no longer be attending due to the safety concerns centered around the coronavirus.
Okay, two things. One, I don't remember Sony having that big of a presence at PAX.
They were going to have
Days Gone, or
no?
Or?
The Last of Us 2 was going to be in its first playable form out at PAX.
Oh, that is actually that's a big deal.
That's a big deal. There is no word whether or not the demos and stuff that they were going to send out are going to make an appearance there. Sort of waiting on clarification on that, but it has been confirmed that they will not have a presence out at PAX East. I think that's pretty disappointing.
It is. That's all for the Checkpoint XP gaming update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Robbie, for the update. One of the biggest flops, not just of 2019, but arguably of the decade, was EA and BioWare's mech suit looter shooter game, Anthem.
Ugh.
It released to little fanfare, or in some cases, even hate, and it has since been quickly abandoned by players and even the developers. They haven't even taken down the Christmas decorations. That's how bad it is in Anthem. It turns out there are new plans on the horizon.
That's right. So there were some rumors that they were looking to develop Anthem 2.0 or Anthem Next, whatever it is they decided to call it, and they have
Anthem Next.
That was one of the possible names. But Casey Hudson, lead producer for the game, came out and he said, over the coming months, we'll be focusing on a longer term redesign of the experience. Specifically working to reinvent the core gameplay loop with clear goals, motivating challenges, and progression with meaningful rewards.
So, a game.
Yeah, no, I think they're actually going to build a game this time.
So, what should have been there the first time? Like, here's the thing, and I think that this is what consumers are starting to really be able to pinpoint, is that gaming companies are literally putting out half-finished products that need another 5 years worth of development for you to pay a full $60 price tag for, and oh, by the way, we're also going to charge you for microtransactions.
And here's the thing.
It's egregious.
And here's the thing, is that people always want to point to stuff like No Man's Sky and Final Fantasy 14 in terms of, oh, look, a game can essentially relaunch and it can work. But in the case of 14, and I will defend this all the time, is the fact that you had a game that already was not good, but still had the goodwill of its player base for the most part, the franchise, I mean.
Sure.
Anthem has no goodwill.
Well,
what goodwill does Anthem or EA have to be able to relaunch this game?
And all the games that you've pointed to, even No Man's Sky, even Elder Scrolls Online went through a relaunch. Mm-hmm. Those were all full games when they came out.
Yep.
They just had problems that needed to be corrected. This was the shell of a game that was put out with nothing inside of it.
Yeah. I think that this is really disappointing for anyone who is a hardcore BioWare fan. Robbie,
BioWare's dead.
What BioWare?
Dead.
I mean, it is BioWare in name only, much like, Infinity Ward.
Telltale.
Was Infinity Ward in name only.
Oh,
Telltale. Great.
You just made me sad.
Yeah, like, there are so many examples of this, and I think that if nothing else, if you're a gamer, walk away with this. Know who makes the games on an individual basis. Create more Hideo Kojimas and less BioWares. All right, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited about the possibility that Anthem could be reworked into an actual game.
Don't let them do this.
Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air so that we know that you found us by listening to the radio. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, Diablo and Overwatch might be getting some animated features in their future, and that is super exciting. Plus, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what two games would you love to see in an epic crossover. Those conversations still ahead here on Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, the PS5 could possibly be over $500. Is that acceptable for a console in 2020? We're going to discuss that ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
After having a stranglehold on the console market, could there be an opening for Microsoft to get one up on Sony? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening out in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600, 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com. We've got a whole bunch of new shows there for you to check out, including the revamped The Other Identity, our show for comics and superheroes. But we've got a brand new show. It debuted 2 weeks ago, and it's called The Owl's Nest. It's hosted by Robbie. Robbie, why don't you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so The Owl's Nest is something I'm really excited to be bringing to you guys, especially because my co-host is former Houston Outlaws pro player Jake Lyon. He is now a caster for the Overwatch League, and each week we break down all the action that's happening in the league, as well as preview what's coming up. Last week, we actually talked about the new rookie rosters in the Los Angeles Valiant and the London Spitfire, what to expect out of them. And coming up on this week's show, we're actually going to be breaking down whether or not Florida looks as good as they actually, you know, may be, and what's going on with the Houston Outlaws, man.
Start your Overwatch weekend right by listening to The Owl's Nest, available every Friday over at our website, CheckpointXP.com. There's been some interesting rumors and leaks that happened late into the week last week. Sony, there are some dynamite rumors about them and the PlayStation 5. The big one, and this was what made me take it a little bit more serious, because this didn't come out of the gaming journalism sphere. This came out of the tech journalism sphere, one that has way less leaks than we're used to out of the gaming side. And the rumor is that the PlayStation 5 could potentially be over $500.
Yeah,
that's a tough one.
Here's the conundrum, I think. I think, first of all, Sony is struggling with the fact that if they release the PS5 at the price point of the PS4, that the retailer cut that they're going to take is not going to make it worth it.
Yep.
For the tech that they're putting inside of the PS5, it's really hard to justify a $400 or $399 price point.
Absolutely. Like, and dev kits are out. Dev kits are in the hands of developers. So developers know the hardware that they're developing for. And so Sony's kind of locked in here. Sony has to make boxes that are at least as powerful as the dev kits that they sent out to developers. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, everything that's being developed right now will not be able to run. So Sony's put in a difficult position of either making it with cheaper parts, which means that it's not going to run as well, or waiting a little bit of time for those parts to come down in price before they actually put out their system.
Or the third option, which is just release it at a higher price point.
Now, that's really dangerous, especially in the world of video games, because we've seen Sony do this before, and they lost the most ground that they've lost in the console market in recent memory. That may have been the most Microsoft has ever gained.
Yeah, with the PS3 and 360.
Exactly, yes.
So what's worse for Sony, then? You put out the higher price point, you take huge, huge losses, you know, people not upgrading to the PS5, and maybe even, you know, becoming Microsoft consumers, or potentially releasing it as a loss and hoping to recoup down the road when you're selling more games.
Here's how I feel about it as somebody who has Sony consoles. I'm going to be honest, I expected to pay about $100 more for the PS5, not just because of the tech that's inside of the box, but also adjusted for inflation. Things cost more because the dollar is worth less. So I kind of expected that this would cost more than my investment on a PS4. However, I think $550 to $600 is no man's land.
Yeah.
You get that high, dead in the water, because it's the same thing that happened with the PS3.
It's at least a question mark.
Yes.
It's not a foregone conclusion that Sony is running away with this console generation. And to me, I'm right with you. $550 to $600, that's really, really expensive. That's a big investment for me to make as opposed to $400 like it was for the PlayStation 4. Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. I think that Sony has enough market share that they could probably put out a higher priced console and lose a section of the market and not even really have it impact their bottom line.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that, especially considering if it comes with some of the features that have been rumored since late
backwards
last year.
Compatibility.
We talk about backwards compatibility, partition downloads.
If I feel like this is the last this is the last Sony game console that I have to buy
before we move to totally cloud based.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you know what? I think that kind of sells me on it. Like, that to me is a big selling point. And to me, if you're going to have that kind of high price point, you have to come in with consumer friendly functions like backwards compatibility. And to me, this is where they have to.
You know what? I didn't even think about that concept, that if this is the last actual piece of hardware, that you have to make it backwards compatible.
Yes.
Because other than that, you have an entire glut of physical games that nobody will be able to play again. The waste implications of that alone are absurd.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to get back to this conversation in just a moment, but now it's time for Nailed It and Failed It.
You know who this is.
From the high highs to the low lows.
Turn it up.
Who nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio.
You know, sometimes life happens, but other times you have to find a way to make it happen. Life came hard at a professional Counter-Strike player, Snacks, after he overslept and missed a crucial match for his team, Virtus Pro.
How?
After VP accidentally failed to register for the other final online qualifier, their player, Snacks, overslept and missed a 3 p.m.
What?
Qualifier match, forcing his team to put in a stand-in in his place. Here's the reaction audio from the opposing team, an unranked team, compared to VP's 10th place after they swept Virtus Pro on their way to qualifying and bouncing VP from the tournament.
Woo!
They're making fun of him in Bulgaria.
Do you know someone who nailed it? What about failed it? Make a submission over at our website, checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
Continuing our conversation on what the next generation of consoles might look like, is this, you know, we talked about Sony and the potential for the PlayStation 5 being over $500. Does this give Microsoft a toe in, just the sliverest, the littlest edge in to the market now that Sony may have to raise the price of their console?
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think that this generation is going to be the death knell that we thought that it would be for Microsoft. Microsoft, because first of all, if you're now outpricing some of your consumers, Microsoft's sort of plan of attack now is they have the high sort of, you know, tech version, and then they have a lower tech version, you know, for those that are looking for a little bit more of a bargain gaming experience. But where I think Microsoft also has the leg up is all of their baskets aren't in the console gaming. Mm-hmm. They're not just selling games on their boxes. You can get them on PC. You can get them on Game Pass now all over the place. Microsoft might actually be a little bit better going into this generation.
Let me tell you why that's a bunch of poppycock, okay? Is because Game Pass has been out for
poppycock.
Yeah. Balderdash.
Oh my god.
Anyway, the
is Game this Pass the 1930s?
Yes. Game Pass has been out for quite a while.
It's becoming a lot more attractive.
It is becoming a lot more attractive, and people do like it. However,
in fact, you even subscribed to it recently, didn't you?
And I canceled it instantly. But the thing is, people were not keeping Game Pass for very long after they got it for free or trial or whatever, or they were not leaving the PS4 to go over to the Game Pass platform. That's the biggest thing that they're going to have to do, because if you're talking about Sony, and if backwards compatibility is available on the PS5, you've effectively nullified and voided Game Pass, because that's why people were using Game Pass to play old games they didn't have the chance to go and play before.
See, but here's the thing. I am solidly in Sony's corner, right? But I will admit that I can be priced out of buying a Sony console. That doesn't mean that I'm priced out of video games. That doesn't mean that I can't go and upgrade my computer for a couple of $100 and get a better video card, right? So if I'm not priced out of video games, there's no FOMO. There's no fear of missing out between going between Sony and Microsoft.
But let me tell you why that logic is somewhat flawed, is because the console market traditionally doesn't have the overlap with PC owners like it does for us in this room. People who own consoles traditionally are not people who own gaming PCs.
You're absolutely right, but a big factor in that decision, at least previously up until now, has been the consolidation of media. I can get this one piece of hardware, and on it I can watch Netflix, I can watch Hulu, and I can play video games. Mm-hmm. The video games aspect of that is only one part of the buying decision.
Yes.
So now your main buying decision is no longer on these ancillary features. Those are, you just presuppose that they're a part of the box. Now the big deciding factors are the titles that are available and the performance of the box.
Let's talk about the people who are doing most of the buying here, and that's parents, right?
Yes.
When it comes time for, let's say, holidays, and you're looking down the $600 PS5 or the $250 all-digital version of the Xbox One S, that's not even a decision.
But I'm gonna tell But I'm gonna tell you the big factor, and you're talking about parents buying stuff. The big thing: where are my friends? If your friends are not in the Xbox,
my sister ruined an entire Christmas because she didn't get the iPod she wanted that her friends had.
Exactly,
it ain't nothing.
But exactly, you have to talk about the ecosystem of where that particular kid is. If they're not on Xbox, because nobody is during this gen, you're gonna see a lot of kids move right on over to PS5.
And especially when it comes to the parents discussion, there are way more of us that are parents now that are also still utilizing the hardware and still playing the games. That factors into the buying decision too. You're no longer buying a $400 thing for your kid. You're buying $600 thing for you and your kids. Listen, we want to hear from you. I know that we can get kind of, you know, insular and inside baseball, but what do you think about the PlayStation 5 being over potentially $500? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what your dream crossover game is. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, Diablo and Overwatch may be getting animated series sooner than you think. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Would you watch an Overwatch cartoon? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic 97.5 and ESPN 610 in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh 970. For all the latest in college esports, make sure you check out Checkpoint XP on campus. Our own Norris Howard hosts alongside Jacob Brothers and Daniel Egbuya from the University of Las Vegas. They bring you all the biggest stories in collegiate esports. Sports from the perspective of the students who live and breathe it. Norris, what do you got this week for us on Checkpoint XP on campus?
Well, we're actually going to have a longer conversation with Mark Deppy of UCI about the Pokimane scholarship, and we're actually going to talk about Collegiate Call of Duty. They've actually been doing a great job with that tournament.
That's what's up. Check it out over at our website, checkpointxp.com, and look for Checkpoint XP on campus wherever you get your podcasts. There are rumors that Overwatch could receive a animated series.
Yes, it's happening.
Yes,
this has been one of the most requested things. Wow,
yes.
That was quite a pitch you hit. This has been one of the most requested things from the Overwatch fan base for a long time, and it goes back to the character introduction shorts that have happened for almost all of the characters added since the first.
Listen, let me break this down.
This is not a drill, all right? So according to Nick Van Dyke, he's the co-president of Activision Blizzard Studios.
So big boss.
And that's right. And he did serve as producer on the Netflix original animated series Skylanders Academy. He has the connections.
All right.
Right? All right. So we know already that there's a Diablo animated sort of anime style thing that's in pre-production. That is happening. In that LinkedIn post talking about this, he also mentioned that he has developed and sold an animated series based on Blizzard's Overwatch franchise.
Ooh. Sold.
Boom.
Woo!
So
let's go, baby.
Okay, so this guy is involved with both Blizzard and with Netflix. We know that. The question is, do you think that they sold it to Netflix?
I hope so. I think so, too. And I do hope so as well. Now, normally, if it was anything other than animated, I wouldn't be cool in the Netflix thing because it takes them 3 years per season and they axe it after the second one. But their anime and, like, animated stuff, they shovel those
Top
things
flight.
Out like candy.
We started today's show talking about one of those recent animations, the Dragon Quest Your Adventure animation, or Your Story, excuse me, piece of animation that they had put on the service last week. There have been a bunch more of these. The Castlevania
was brilliant.
There's going to be more The Witcher series. There's the Final Fantasy 14 series.
Video games doing good on Netflix,
they
man.
They really are. So I have to wonder, though, because, you know, like, the animation style of these character shorts for Overwatch have been very close to, like, Pixar-level animation.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that you see them on Disney Plus?
No, I think you go Netflix because Netflix has the lineage of video game content.
But we know that the Overwatch League was doing business with Disney. They were on Disney XD.
No, but I still think you go with Netflix because
you get a bigger budget probably from Disney.
That's debatable because I still think Disney will always put the vast majority of the money behind their proprietary stuff.
See,
I think with Netflix, you got more of a leeway because you already have that legacy of video game content, and I think they'll be more willing to play ball with Activision Blizzard as opposed to Disney, who we know can be draconian about the content they put on their platform.
You know, that's very true. I do think, though, that there would be a really interesting opportunity to maybe not even get it on Disney Plus, but to get it as a regular cable television
Disney
show.
Disney XD?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking as well. And to me, you know, Overwatch is maybe one of the only games that could bridge that gap very successfully in the mainstream.
See, I don't want it to go on Disney because I feel like there's way too much sort of more darker, mature content that there's there to explore.
True.
You know,
that's
especially
fair.
If you set it in the Omnic War, Omnic Crisis era, that's a full-blown true blue war.
Yeah.
And it's not a pure animation style. So I think it's a little harder to translate it to Disney and Disney-adjacent stuff, which is why I say I think Netflix is the better move.
Okay, that's really interesting. Regardless of where it ends up landing,
I'm happy.
I think everyone is excited for more Overwatch content, more Overwatch animation to be out there in the world.
I'm happy to hear those voice actors get more
work.
Yes!
Absolutely. Absolutely. What now, real quick, we got to switch gears here, but what's a story that you hope to see told in the animation?
The Omnic War?
Okay.
I'd like to honestly see more character development between Genji and Zenyatta, to see how Genji went from sort of his past and like how hated, you know, he was in his family and the relationship he had to his brother to finding the peace that he does now.
I think that's the thing that I'm most excited about, to see the character elements expanded on inside of Overwatch. All right, you're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. It's time to switch gears now and play a little game. This is the only game that we've gotten to play this week here on the show. A couple of weeks ago, we had actually played a round of Catchphrase, and Norris ran away with the whole thing. So I want to try to redeem myself here today.
Oh, it ain't happening. You're on Weirdbeard's team.
Let's go. Let's play around a Catchphrase here. Oh, Weirdbeard's standing up.
He's not stand up.
I guess that means you guys go first.
All right. Yeah. Okay, fine. I'm standing too.
Oh,
let's do it.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Set, go.
Ku Klux
Klan?
There you go. If I'm trying to make you mad, I want to get you, I want to blank you. You're so... it's
angry?
A new slang. It's new slang terrible. For like a gun. I pull the...
Trigger!
There you go. I want to go really, really fast. I hit the blank button.
The go button.
No, skip it. It's a pop. It's lemon and lime.
Sprite.
There you go. Another number. If I'm going and ordering at McDonald's, I get a blank. Like it's another meat name.
Happy Meal.
No, like the adult version.
Oh, I have no idea.
Skip it. I take a picture with a
camera.
If I'm a weeaboo, I watch
anime.
Yes. All right. I'll take
how many okay. is that?
Four.
Four. That was pitiful.
A paltry.
Five. That was five. That was five.
Okay. Five.
I'll give you five. We're still going right. to beat it.
Robbie, let's get it.
Hang on. Before, what were some of those that I missed in there?
The only one you missed?
There were two that I missed.
Turbo,
okay.
And
the go button.
And combo.
Combo. Okay.
Right,
see, I was ready for gaming terms.
Yeah, let's do it. That's a gaming term.
Yeah.
You don't play fighting games.
Go.
Here we go. Metal Gear Solid is a what type game?
Action.
Main element of
stealth.
It.
Stealth.
All right. Avoid the blank warnings.
Ugh.
When a new movie comes out, what do you not
spoiler.
Want?
Spoiler.
See a big giant room. What's in there?
Boss.
Oh, that's easy. All right. Yep. Man, this is really blurry. I should change the something in my settings.
Sharpness.
Oh, what's another word for it?
Picture. Gamma.
Keep going.
Skip.
All right. When you play something that's not finished, it's not going to come out yet, but here, we're going to give you this as a like test of it.
Beta.
Try again.
Demo.
We need to get desks. There we go. When something's wrong in a game and you're trying to fix it.
Glitch.
Another word for it.
Hot
insects.
Fix. Bug.
And... Well, that was five.
It was a tie!
That was not a tie. We're going to go back and listen. You guys got four. I was
It was
counting.
A tie. I'm convinced...
What did I miss?
I'm convinced it was a tie.
Resolution.
Oh, resolution.
Resolution.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
All right, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook
you guys
and Twitter.
Can sit down now,
and
by
Checkpoint
the way.
_ XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP, you know, we sat down with our social media followers as we do every week. And make sure you connect with us. Again, Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. This week, we ask you what two games you would love to see cross over with one another. A weird question and some weirder responses. Stick around. That conversation is up next right here at Checkpoint XP.
Still the king.
Hey, this is Joe with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. Starting in the Overwatch League, Week 3 we'll see the OWL heading to Washington, D.C. The Washington Justice will be welcoming New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Houston, Paris, Toronto, and London to the nation's capital. Turning our attention to the spring split of the League of Legends LCS, where Cloud9 continues to dominate. Monday Night League this week will play host to TSM versus Evil Geniuses and Team Liquid versus Dignitas. February will play host to DreamHack Anaheim, which will bring us back to the world of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. That tournament will be running from February 21st through the 23rd. That same weekend, we'll also play host to Frostbite 2020, welcoming Smash players from all over the country to beautiful Detroit, Michigan. The last weekend in February marks IEM Katowice. In addition to StarCraft II, the tournament also marks the first ESL major of 2020 for CSGO. And as we look towards March, all eyes are on ESL 1 Los Angeles, marking the first Dota ESL major of the year. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website over at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's social media question. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com, whether it's our podcast, our thoughts on the latest stories in gaming and esports, or some Checkpoint XP merch. It all lives on the brand new, freshly redesigned website, CheckpointXP.com. Also, check out the latest in the Collegiate Star League rankings before the CSL Grand Finals by staying up to date with Checkpoint XP on campus. Hear the latest in Dota 2, League of Legends, and CSGO college rankings, and find the teams that are going to be making an appearance at the event. Will Stony Brook University, who has been ranked first for the majority of the season, hold on to the top spot and take the hardware home? Want to see the highlights from the recent University of Michigan versus Western Michigan CSGO match? And will Rising Stars University of Toledo continue their meteoric rise on the league rankings to be able to dethrone the current champs, Harrisburg University of Science and Technology? Find it all out over at our website, CheckpointXP.com. You can also find us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we ask what two games you would love to see cross over with one another. And this actually required a lot of thought.
Quite a bit of thought.
A lot of thought on my part, because here's the thing, and I have to admit this. I hate crossovers. I hate them. I think they're dumb. I've never liked them.
Wait.
What?
Marvel versus Capcom, my guy?
Okay. That one's okay.
See,
that one's okay.
They can be great, but you're right. Usually they're terrible.
Most of the time, it's a like some game's notable character making a cameo in another game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Assassin's Creed had a thing in Final Fantasy 15.
Dante was in Shin Megami Tensei.
Why? I don't like that. So I thought really, really hard, and here's the one crossover that I would like to see.
Okay.
I want to see DJ Hero and Rock Band crossover so that we can have the ultimate Linkin Park experience.
All righty.
Bring back...
Could you pretend to try?
Bring back the late 90s. No. I want to be able to recreate Limp Bizkit sets.
You know what? I didn't think that you'd be able to disappoint me, but here we are.
Yeah. Anyway, I have
to... Keep rolling.
What? Stop it, please.
Make it better, Norris. Make it better.
Please. It can't be worse than that.
That's
but
fair.
Anyway,
that's fair.
I have two crossovers, actually. One is a fighting game,
of
obviously.
Course.
I would love to see a Street Fighter versus Guilty Gear, but I would like Arc System Works to do it because it'll be super anime and it'd be beautiful. It'd be the most gorgeous game ever made.
That's fair.
But I would also like to see Armored Core cross Zone of Enders.
Ooh.
I would like to be able to
just
take
robot fighting.
Yes. I would like to take the Zone of Enders sort of art style, the Yohishinkawa art style,
yep,
but make my own one.
Okay.
Armored Core.
Okay.
Right?
You know what? I could see that. I could see that being really cool. But I feel like we have a ton of mech fighters.
No, we
already.
Don't.
We do.
No, we don't.
We absolutely
do. No, we do not. Not good ones.
That's the key.
Yeah, okay. Not good ones.
All right, I'll give
you
that.
All right, hold with me here, because it's going to be a journey, all right? Because first of all, it's got to be an RPG for me, right?
Okay.
But the two games that I chose have too many characters for your traditional RPG, so we have to go the Suikoden route. We have 108-some characters. Some are support characters or story characters. Some you actually have to use in battle, right?
Okay.
And they have, like, the traditional turn-based battle, but they also have, like, these big sort of RTS-style battles.
All right,
but
I'm
gonna take
out
the Final Fantasy universe and the Overwatch universe and combine them
That's
into
stupid.
Whatever this game is.
You know what, Robbie? It got worse.
It did.
It got worse. It did. It got way
His game
worse.
Is just the same game.
Keep rolling.
Weird, Pierre. What two terrible indie games do you want to play together?
Spelunky and Kentucky Route Zero.
No. I want Mass Effect and XCOM. I think that
really good.
A turn-based Mass Effect that's all about like the tactical combat. I was a huge fan of Final Fantasy Tactics. I think that there's enough in the Mass Effect universe to really be able to have some fun with it. And slowing that game down, I don't think takes anything away from
it. The universe.
Yeah, like the universe still lives and breathes, and maybe it's just enough that you're not just blasting through aliens at that point. You're able to kind of, you know, have some
That's
fun
actually
with
really
it.
Good.
I'm impressed.
That's actually really good.
That one's all right.
I am impressed.
Shut up, Robbie's right. Better than yours.
All right, you're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Let's check out some of the responses that we had coming in over social media.
Our good friend Fred says Apex Legends.
Really, Fred?
And,
really?
Hold on. I didn't see this next one coming, though. And Overwatch, which he normally hates on quite a bit. He says Pathfinder and Bastion could be a buddy comedy.
That's
Hanzo
true.
Hanzo and Crypto could argue over who's got more angst.
That's
so
true.
Many combos mesh, like Revenant and Reaper, Watson and Torb. Come on!
It's like one of them's a ripoff of the other one.
Beat me to the punch.
Sorry.
All right. Terry over on Facebook says, I want the deep world-building open RPG style of Elder Scrolls, but in the Star Wars universe.
Why? Why? Nobody likes it when you get... Like, when you get more Star Wars, no Star Wars fan actually likes it. They just want to complain on the internet some more.
Nah, because I play Old Republic, and
I'm just saying, like, if you would respond positively to one piece of media that's put out with the Star Wars name on it, then maybe they'd consider making more.
All right, Chris over on Facebook says, the Fallout universe, but with the gunplay of the Destiny games.
Negative.
Fallout 3
Negative.
Is in my top of all time.
No.
But let's be real, the gun mechanics leave a lot to be desired.
But that's precisely why it's fun.
Well, yeah. It's a first-person shooter for people who can't shoot.
Here's the thing. Okay, he's 100% right, specifically about Fallout 3. New Vegas got a little bit better because you could aim down the iron sights. That's my point, is that I don't want the Destiny mechanic.
No.
The 4 did it just fine.
All right, well, Andre from over on Facebook says, I'd say Surge from Chrono Cross and Dart or Rose from Legend of Dragoon would
it's
be
not
a
bad.
Perfect match.
Not bad.
All right.
I didn't say it was good, but I said it was not bad.
For what? As matches on Tinder? What are you talking about?
Here's the thing. We got some interesting answers. Like, some people are mashing game modes up. Other people are like, mashing characters. I just want to see the characters interact with each other. Jack over on Facebook just says, Earthworm Jim in Castlevania.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? I'd be okay
actually,
with this.
Earthworm Jimvania.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. No, honestly,
I'm
if you...
I'm legit in.
I mean, any platformer can lend itself to a Vania style, a Metroidvania style game.
I mean, Earthworm Jim already kind of is
it
Metroidvania.
It sort of is, but it's linear.
It is linear.
It's linear, which makes it dissimilar from, a Metroidvania.
Ricky says, I'd be happy if a Resident Evil character became playable in Smash Brothers.
Ooh, what? Which one would you pick, though?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Nemesis.
I mean, a gun user. Yay. Oh, boy.
Better than another damn Fire Emblem
Fair
character.
Enough. Yep. Yeah, better than a sword user. Yep. I'll give you that.
Jeremy says, Ellie from Last of Us and Elizabeth from Bioshock Infinite. They don't need no more escorts.
Okay, first of all, we were just talking about this. Neither Ellie or Elizabeth are annoying escort characters.
No,
they're both actually quite useful.
Absolutely.
Them plus Atreus from God of War.
Yeah.
That's not escort.
All right, last one.
All right, our producer Chad says, I'd love to merge two of my favorites, Dead by Daylight and Minecraft, where you have to build to escape the killer as the survivor.
That's not bad.
That's actually pretty
smart. That's actually kind of fun. All right, listen, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but make sure you follow us over on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week and every week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP. For more info on the show, links to articles and the Checkpoint AFK podcast, as well as all of our podcasts, then head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Make note of when you're catching us on your local radio station like WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. And remember to come back next week for more video game news and discussion. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Norris Howard, producing and booking help from Chad Callahan, the head of Good Opinions Department this week, Weird Beard.
Finally.
And, of course, my co-host, Robbie Landis, and Norris Howard. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.